Hi, I'm Dr. Glenn Morris, and we're going to be talking about different ways of moving energy in and around your body. And also, I'll kind of give a little summation of everything that we've done up to this point, and also probably introduce you to a couple of ideas that you may find useful in explaining to your friends why you're even doing this, because since people cannot see what goes on inside your body and the effects of the energy are very subtle, most people will think you're a little bit on the nuts side when you try to describe what you've been doing and why you've been doing it. And it's their loss, but and your gain, but the thing of it is very, very few people will understand what you're all about as you do this. Now, the concept of yin and yang are important in that yin represents the female side of the energy, call it the absorbing side of the energy, the pulling. And yang is the pushing energy, the outgoing energy, and it's usually regarded as male. So the yin energy draws, and the yang energy pushes. You know, and sometimes it's thought of as positive and negative, but I really don't like to think of it that way, because it's not necessarily true. As you try to keep your mind in a positive, problem-solving, let's take care of business sort of viewpoint, your energy, negative energies will go away, but you'll still have yin and you'll still have yang, except that now they will be more positive. Yang energy can be very negative in terms of its aspects, and yin can also be very negative. And usually when the Chinese describe it, and a lot of the old masters, they tend to emphasize the negative side. Now, in the poem that I have included, you know, I talk a little bit about the negative side of the various dragons and chakras, but you'll notice that in the affirmations that I gave you, I don't throw in any of that negative description. There is a negative side to all this, but the interesting thing about it is if you learn to do it properly and you do it the way I told you to do it, with a lot of emphasis on the secret smile, you don't have to worry about the negative. All of that burns away. If you don't do it that way, then you can only get so far, and you burn out. You start having troubles. As Hatsumi says, bad ninjas go away. And what he means by that is that you can only get to a certain level if you're doing this to dominate, if you're doing this to harm others, if you're doing this for negative reasons, it won't work. And I'm pretty much convinced of that. That's why I just teach it. I don't see any reason to keep it a secret, because the knuckleheads really can't grasp it. I noticed, I read an article not too long ago in Gnosis by Barbara Brennan, who's a very famous healer, and she just teaches it right out. And they asked her about that, and she said, from my observation, the people who are negative can only get so far, and they're not a problem. It isn't anything to really worry about. So, getting that out of the way, let's talk a little bit about yin and yang, and maybe the idea of yin channels and yang channels. Now, your yang energy primarily are on your back. You know, so it's the back of your hands, the elbows, the shoulders, the down your back, down the back and outside of your legs. That's the yang side. The yin is the inside of your legs, the inside of your arms, up the center of your chest, and your forehead. Now, when the ancient Taoists talk about the hidden valley, they're actually talking about the third eye and the thousand petal lotus at the top of the brain. They noticed that the brain has this kind of little cleft with a corpus callosum, integrates the two parts, and that's referred to as the hidden valley. So the hidden valley is a gate that is in your mind. They also refer to the openings of the various chakras as gates. And togakore ru, hidden gate, is in reality another one of those little secret esoteric names that indicates a lot more than people are usually think. So the hidden gate in reality refers to the third eye. Now, when you're breathing in with the yin, you know, as you inhale, you can lead the energy, sort of like you're pulling it with the inside of your body towards you, into you, from the air, and through your nostrils also, you're pulling it in, and that's kind of a yin in-breath, and then you press it out as a yang exhale. So as you pull it in, when you do it correctly, you'll feel the energy that you literally can pull it out of the air, and you'll know that that's working because you'll feel a kind of tenseness in your third eye, or what the Chinese refer to as the upper dan chin. And if you do that, you're going to feel a little tenseness and a little warmth in the upper dan chin. You may get yourself a little teeny migraine. And when you exhale, you relax the upper dan chin and lead the chi, sort of think of it as going upward out of the top of your head and then down the external sides of your arms and legs. And just let it pass through your fingers and toes to the center of your palms and soles. And this is called yin-yang channel breathing. As you do this, you may feel your rectum tends to open up a little bit. And you may also want to see what effect squeezing your rectum has as you breathe in. Tighten up your rectum and see if you get a little rush of energy up your spine. As you breathe out, tighten up your rectum and see what happens. So you want to work on tightening and closing your rectum and your breathing, and experiment with it, because your rectum acts as a pump, and the perineum brings the energy down to your rectum, and the rectum squeezes and pushes the energy up your spine. So you can play with that to see what happens. As you work on your breathing and you've worked out how to do the microcosmic orbit, where you're bringing the energy around your body, try to do half your orbit as you breathe in and half your orbit as you breathe out. So as you breathe in, you might be bringing the energy up your body through your tongue to the back of your brain, forward to the third eye, and then shoot it down your back as you exhale. Or as you inhale, you might bring it up your back, take it up to your third eye, bounce it off the third eye to the back of your brain, to the tip of your tongue, and shoot it down to your stomach as you breathe out, you know, reverse breathing. These are extremely beneficial to holding your energy. Now, when you're just fooling around and you want to settle your energy down, you bring it down into your lower intestines. You bring it down as close to your hips as possible, and just sort of let the energy hold down there. And this is better for you than holding it in your head. Once you go through the kundalini, it'll be in your head all the time. But until you go through the kundalini, it's easier on your body, because the energy tends to stay hot for quite a while, and so it's easier if you hold it down in your intestines area. Now, body breathing is kind of a neat thing to try and do, and it's a way to think about your body as you're breathing. And Tai Chi people do a lot of this body breathing. And what you do with your body breathing, as you inhale, you think of yourself as a beach ball that's just filling up with energy, and the energy is going out through the surface of your skin, so that as you expand, as you inhale, you can bring the energy in, and when you exhale, you blow the chi out to the surface of your skin, so it's like you're inflating your body, and you want to be relaxed and comfortable when you do that. But it leads the chi to every pore in your skin, and it's kind of a skin breathing exercise. You know, you try and draw the energy in and then let it fill you up as you press the energy out. So that's a very good exercise and something to play around with as you work on your different ways of breathing. Now, you can also learn to focus the chi with your eyes and your thoughts. You know, like you want to put the chi out in your hand, throw your hand out and look at your hand, and that shoots the energy there a little bit faster. You want the chi to go where you think it should go. You know, so you think it to your hand, you think it to your foot. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you don't need to think about it anymore. It just goes when you make the movement. And that's what you'd like the end product to be like. Now, it's really imperative that you learn to calm and empty your mind through meditation. If you're young and you really start generating chi, you'll notice when you start sweating a lot and you're getting the toxins out of your body that the energy is warm. And the energy can, particularly, you know, a young sexual energy tends to be very hot. And that can literally burn you. And so it's important to kind of be cool and learn to get the energy up into the heart chakra, which has a certain amount of cooling effect, and also mix more of the yin energy in with the yang energy, because the yang energy is what tends to move first. You know, the yin energy takes longer to really come into production. So you have to keep that in mind, that you're really trying to mix both energies together in a positive manner as possible. Now, if you're doing these fingertip exercises and the push-ups on your fingertips and so forth, your hands are going to get quite strong, and you push the energy down into your hands to make them stronger. And this is very effective both for healing and massage work, and also when you're grappling with somebody, you grip with full intention. And when you grip with full intention, you'll be surprised. It took me quite a while to learn how to back it off so that I wasn't hurting people, because I you know, I'm no physical masterpiece, and people don't expect me to be as strong as I am. And so when I tend to do things to people, I do it with my complete body, and it tends to shock them. So it's important that if you're going to be interacting with people, that you attempt to be cool, be gentle, back it off, or, you know, very easily end up in jail. So it's a matter of relaxing and enjoying what it is that you do. Now, fighting with chi is very risky business for primarily three reasons. If you've not learned how to relax when you fight, and you run hot, angry male energy through the muscles and bones, it won't take you too long to burn some tissue and organs, as well as fry your fascia. So you get in a fight and you don't have the right mood, you pay for that later. At least the genitals don't burn first, but you have to be careful with it, you know, because you do get very strong. If you carry your shoulders down and really practice the breathing with the meditational orbits, you become very strong, but as your kidneys begin to kick in more and more the energy, you have to remember you're drawing energy also from your adrenal glands. And when that energy comes up with the chi, the adrenal energy is a lot like speed, and it resembles paranoia. So if you're not positive, all of a sudden you begin to see all the things that are going to go wrong and all the negative things, and your fight may very quickly turn to flight, which can be rather embarrassing. I've known people who, as they were learning how to do this, got so paranoid that they couldn't drive their car anymore. Other people had to drive them around, and you know, that's kind of embarrassing. So you really have to keep your thoughts positive, you know, loving, happy, enjoying yourself. As Musashi says, the middle way is best. You know, if you can't be positive, be neutral, but don't let the biochemical basis of fear take over your mind. A little paranoia with the positive thinking becomes extremely good problem solving, because you tend to think of every little thing that could go wrong. The difference is you do something about it rather than react to it. Now, the cooler energy seems to work better for healing, while the warmer yang energy is probably more effective in battle. Wherever you've been injured, those energies will tend to cook you a little bit, and so as your body rewires itself, those places where you've been injured will tend to burn, and that can be rather annoying. Probably one of the best exercises you can do is it's a standing meditation. It's called hugging the tree. And the interesting thing about it is the ninjas, a lot of the real old Zen practitioners, and a lot of the Taoist practitioners actually hug trees. And they say pine trees are particularly beneficial. Being a Scot and having druidic kind of ancestry, I fooled around with some oak trees and things like that. Had to get a little different energy. But pine trees are very relaxing and very good for you. I usually introduce people to tree meditations using pine trees, but you may go out and sample some other trees just to see what they're like. I know it sounds a little bit nutty, but in reality, the position itself, with, you know, standing meditation, elbows dropped, hands sort of like you're holding a beach ball, is in reality hugging the tree. And you should try it out with the tree. Human beings have had relationships with trees for a long, long time, and you gotta remember, we're primates, and there are some benefits to sharing energy with a tree. Rolling in taijutsu, as well as the stretching and some of the kamae, really enhance energy flow, and you should look at the rolling techniques. So, you know, if you're in a keto or something like that, you know, that's really good for your spine. It's great for your back, and it kind of massages all the points if you're doing it right. And it's rolling around is very, very good for you. The stretches can increase your ability to handle energy, because the muscles can be more relaxed while they're operating at full strength. And the kamae are those positions where the chi flows most strongly, and that's why they're used as fighting postures. Shikantaza, which is the highest form of zazen or sitting meditation, requires that the sitter empty the mind of all supportive beginning techniques. You know, this is seriously emptying the mind. So you give up counting the breath, and supposedly one faces into the shadow, brightly alert, with no expectations, attention that is free of thoughts, directed to no object, attached to no particular outcome or object, and it's usually thought of as the mind of someone properly approaching death. Now, sustaining this meditative attitude in all activities in one's life is a result of and or contributes to Satori or Samadhi, and learning to breathe seamlessly and deeply from the Dan Chan point below the navel and the upper Dan Chan, the third eye, is really essential to meditation. A lot of times if you practice exhaling as you strike and inhale as you pull, this will increase your ability to do some things. But the really skilled martial artist will say, you know, no breath, no intent, only taijutsu. I'm just doing what's there. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just letting whatever happens flow out of my body. If you watch good Aikido practitioners and high-level ninjas, you'll notice that they don't even look at their opponent when they're doing a lot of techniques. They're just letting their body take care of whatever comes at them. And this becomes important to you if you want to be moved by the spirit. Now, traditionally, we think of spiritual transformation as an ascent. It's a climb. And the effects of spiritual practice, we expect this to make us more calm, more able to cope, more filled with equanimity. But one of the interesting things that you will find as you work on meditation, particularly intentional meditation, the way that I've taught you, which is the most powerful form of meditation, a lot of repressed material will come out in the unconscious. And so the initial fruits when you first start practice may not be very peaceful. But as you continue to work your orbit and work your secret smile, I guarantee it will come, and it will come faster that way. But for a lot of people, the real connection is that as you become better and better at meditation, the subconscious loosens up, and the emotional weeds stored in the unconscious, which the body seems to be the warehouse, the mind begins to evacuate spontaneously, called the undigested emotional material of a lifetime. And so you may find yourself thinking thoughts you never thought before, or when you did think them, you quickly say, oh, I'm not that way, and buried it. So the rejected, call it one's darker side, does begin to come out. And so you really have to trust in the process. I heard a Christian meditator refer to it as bonding with the divine therapist, and that helps you to endure the process. But it's a struggle for some people, because you must ascend into hell before, or descend into hell before you can ascend into heaven. So, you know, you got to take the energy down before you can bring it up. And as you follow the practice and work on your microcosmic orbit, I think you'll find that once the symptoms start, and you should look over those list of symptoms, and maybe by Bonnie Greenwell's book on the Kundalini. I mean, she just gives a whole bunch of really good information. She's comes more from a Hindu perspective in a lot of ways, but why not? I mean, they've been studying and doing this for a long, long time. And you will find out that there's a lot of good information to be had. The other thing is there's also a lot of phoniness and a lot of fraud in spiritual practice, just like now in any other form of practice, you know, even in martial arts. And so when you take that into consideration, I've tried to be very honest and give you the best information that I can and give you the exercises that I used and I taught my students and that seemed to work the best and have the most beneficial effects. So work on it. Samiti can be obtained in this lifetime. The Mikyo Buddhists are essentially correct. You can do it, and there's no reason why you have to suffer to do it. It's just a biological process. It's nothing more than that, but it requires going into yourself, cleaning up your act, and then learning how to become a new and different person. And I think you will find that as you work your way through this process, that it's beneficial and you will be able to achieve the goals that you have having undertaken this project. And, you know, since you're baking a very important cake, do it carefully. You know, start off with understanding first why you're meditating and what you intend to do with it. Then really work on the relaxation techniques, get so you can do those very, very quickly and very easily. The secret smile is absolutely essential. Work very, very hard on the secret smile. The Domino's Cave may surprise you. Go through the whole Domino's Cave series. You may want to listen to it two or three times, because the Domino's Cave will open up some very interesting things in your mind if you get to the point where you can easily visualize and create your own internal environment using the cave model. It really works, and it works in some rather interesting ways. Being aware of various esoteric practices, there's a lot of different religious traditions. Study up, do your research, read the books and the bibliography. You'll find out lots of little extra things that you can try and throw in that I didn't throw in, because they weren't things that I did. But as I look at them, they make sense to me. I say, well, yeah, maybe I should have done it that way, but I didn't, so it doesn't go in the recipe. But I think as you play around with these things, you'll find that it makes a great deal of difference. As your body changes, and you may find that you see the world differently, and you see it more from an energy model. And the new scientists, the quantum physics people and so on, they seem to support that very strongly. So although you're doing some very archaic exercises, you're actually pursuing a very modern foundation. So good luck, God bless, take care of yourself, and have a good time doing this. Really attempt to try out all the various exercises and work at them, and I'm sure you'll find them to be beneficial.